Well, let's pray. As always, Lord, we would ask that you would open your word to us, speak to us, and open our hearts to you, make us receptive for your voice. And always you speak different things to each one of us. You speak to us where we have need, where we hurt, whatever the case might be. Speak to us now, in your name, amen. Well, sometimes things don't go quite as we plan them, do they? A number of years ago, the TV show Mythbusters, this was in Ireland, and I'm quoting two reporters, Damon Balwa and Henry K. Lee. The Mythbusters staged an experiment, and what myth they were trying to bust, I don't know. But the idea was that they were going to fire a cannon into several large containers of water. Sounds good on paper. Didn't quite go as planned. When they fired the cannon, they completely missed their target, so they probably should have had someone who knew a little bit more about firing a cannon. They missed their target completely, and the water containers. Instead, they hit the cinder block, and the cannonball skipped off the cinder block, then off a hillside, and then flew some 700 yards into the air. End of the story, right? Nope. Not quite. The cannonball then bounced in front of a house on a quiet street, and I'm quoting them, ripped through the front door, raced up the stairs, and blasted through the bedroom. Then it exited. Can you imagine a cannonball going up your stairs to go through your bedroom? If it wasn't true, you wouldn't even believe it. Then it exited the house, leaving a perfectly round hole in the stucco. End of the story, right? The cannonball then slammed into a family's beige Toyota minivan and skipped across six lanes on Tassajara Road and finally came to a stop. Two questions for you today. Question number one, which one of those people did you identify with in the story? The poor people who had a cannonball running amok in their lives? Or the people who shot the cannonball? Second question, the more important question, can we trust God when there is a cannonball running around amok in our lives? Can we trust Him even then? We're looking at Psalm 46, if you turn with me to our text. The psalmist's answer, of course, is absolutely. We can trust God no matter what. We can trust Him come what may. Look at our first verse, Psalm 46, verse 1. The psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The word trouble in the Hebrew emphasizes the circumstances, the difficulties that we're going through, but especially emphasizes the pain, the anguish which those circumstances cause. So it emphasizes the circumstances, but especially emphasizes our anguish. And so when we say that God is our refuge and strength in times of trial, in times of trouble, what we're saying is God is always there, and He's especially there when we're really hurting, when things are really difficult, when we're bleeding all over the place. Praise God, amen. Now the word for refuge and strength, now some of you will be able to identify with this and some won't. But the word for refuge refers to a place or a person to whom we can flee when things are tough, when we're deeply troubled. Now this is the part that some people can't relate to. My mom was a refuge. Anytime things went bump in the night, anytime we had an owie, anytime there was issues, boy, we could run to our mom and she'd take care of us. I remember one time when I was 6 or 7, I thought I had a snake in the bed. You can't believe how fast I vaulted out of the bed, over the backboard, and into my mom's arms. And then everything was okay. She was a refuge. In the same way, strength, my dad was a source of strength. When I was young, I thought dad could fix anything. Thought he could do anything. If there's ever an issue, that's okay, dad's got it. He'll take care of it. Never a question in my mind whether he could or not, I just knew he would. And in my little mind, he always did. So when we say that God is our refuge and strength, we're saying that God is like my mom. You can run to him and he'll wrap you up in his arms and keep you safe. He is our strength. He's like my dad. He can fix anything. Take care of anything. Isn't that a wonderful picture of who God is? He's our refuge and our strength. What then are the implications? The next two verses. Therefore, because God is our refuge and our strength, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Take that literally. Has anybody ever been in an earthquake here? Anybody been, have a tornado go right next to them? Hurricane? Flood? If you've been in those situations, when people are in those situations, what do they say? I felt so tiny. I felt so helpless. I think the psalmist is referring to the end times when all these things will happen, when the earth will literally give way, when the mountains will be moved, when the waters will roar and mountains will tremble. We're talking about times that will make anyone afraid. We're talking about times when we'll all feel tiny and insignificant. And yet the psalmist says, even in those situations, we do not need to fear because God is our very present help in time of trouble. And of course, for most of us, we're not talking about physically being in a tornado, a flood, whatever the case might be. But isn't that often how our life feels? As it's being shaken, as we're being flooded by difficulties and so on. May not be physical for us, but it often is figuratively true for us. But even so, the psalmist said, we do not need to fear. And again, why? Because God is our refuge and our strength. God is good, and he's in control. He's good, and he's in control. Now, I'm not telling you anything new. You know this. Most of my job as a pastor is just to remind all of us of what the truths are in the Bible. We know this. We know God is good. We know he's in control. But we lose sight of it sometimes, don't we? Especially when those difficult times come, when the mountains do shake and the waters foam and everything is up for grabs. Our life is turned upside down. So how do we reassure our trembling hearts? Interestingly enough, the psalmist points to the past and to the future. When we're struggling with trusting in the Lord, the psalmist says, look to the past, look to the future. So first the past, look at verse 1 again. In the ESV, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's not what the Hebrew says literally. That's the implication from what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says, God is a very proven help in time of trouble. Time and again, God has been faithful to us, right? He's a proven help. Time and again. Every time we've needed him, he has been there. And so the psalmist says he's a proven help. He's always been faithful. And because he's always been faithful, we know what? He'll be faithful again. And hence, he's a very present help in time of trouble. He's a very present help because he always has been. And so we can know he always will be. And then the future. As we looked in verse 2 and 3, the earth will be shaken, mountains will tremble, so on and so forth. Very fearful times as he returns. Verse 4 and 5, there is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. As Christ returns, the whole earth will be shaken, and then he will establish his rule in Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem, the river of life will flow again for the healing of the nation. Verse 4, and God himself, verse 5, will live among his people and be man's, the redeemed God. And then the next few verses, the nations rage. This is all referring to the end times. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Because, verse 6, the nations rage because they oppose him, when he comes, he will war against them. He will subdue them. In the process, there will be great desolation, verse 8. Horrific desolation. You read the book of Revelation, and if you really think about what is being said in Revelation, you grieve. Grieve at the loss of life and the destruction of our planet that will take place when mankind rebels and wars against the Lord and the Lord wars against them. And then he, of course, will triumph. And verse 9, he will then make wars to cease forever. He'll break the bow, shatter the spear, and burn the chariots with fire. And he'll establish his kingdom on the earth. So what the psalmist is saying is, look to the past, how God has always been faithful in your life. When your heart is failing, when you're doubting, look to the past. God has always been faithful. What does the Old Testament always say? Remember, remember, remember how I did this, how I brought you out of Egypt. Remember how I split the Red Sea. Remember how I split the Jordan. Remember, remember. And then the other thing the psalmist says is look to the future. There is coming a day when God will act. And things will be different. He is going to triumph, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So find comfort in that as well. Look to the past, look to the future. Can you trust Christ? He's always been there for you, hasn't he? Can you trust him? He is going to usher in a new age. No matter what cannonball is running amok in your life, you can trust him. You really can. Now I know. It's easy to say that. You're going through a difficult time, someone comes up to you and says, trust the Lord, trust the Lord. And it strikes you as, I don't know, water on the back of a duck, I suppose. Because it's easy to say that. You can trust the Lord. It's easy to say you should trust the Lord. But when we're going through those difficult times, not quite so easy, is it? Easier said than done. So how do we do it? And this isn't meant to be the answer to how we trust in the Lord, but it's definitely the beginning point. How do we do it? Verse 10 and 11. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God will be exalted. Whether we want him to or not, whether we think he will be or not, whether we care or not, God will be exalted, it says. And even now, Romans 1, every day his glory is being manifested to the world. Every day he is exalting himself, whether we pay attention, whether we see it or not, but every day he is exalting himself. God will be exalted. No one can oppose him. He's in control. He does whatever he wants to do. But we doubt. So sometimes, as the psalmist says, we need to do what? We just need to be still. And I think that can mean three different things. Sometimes we're just so busy, aren't we? We Americans, we have so many labor-saving devices. I remember when I first started as a pastor, I take up this book, and then I look at this word, and I had to cross-reference it in this book. And then I take this book, and I cross-reference it in another book, and then I get up my commentaries, and oh, tedious. And now I do press a button, and there it is on my computer. You know, in the old days, some of you can probably remember this. I remember my mom, not most of the time, but I remember my mom washing her clothes with the old washing boards. Now, you know, what? Who does that anymore? We have so many labor-saving devices, and yet, we're consistently some of the most busy people in the world. Somehow we fill our life with busyness. And so sometimes what we just need to do is stop being busy. One of the most profound questions I ever got asked is, what are you going to leave undone? You can't do it all. Sometimes we just need to slow down. And that's why God said every Sunday we should gather together, come away from our busyness, rest, and worship. So sometimes to be still just means we need to step back from our busyness. Other times I think be still is more an emotional thing. We go through these times of trial and sometimes we can't get off the treadmill. The cycle, just our mind, our heart, it just goes and goes and goes and goes, and we can't even breathe. And so sometimes to be still means we just step back and say, I'm just going to breathe. Lord, you are good. I'm just going to breathe. Just going to stop obsessing. I'm just going to breathe. Just going to breathe. Just going to breathe. And sometimes, especially for those of you who are fixers, sometimes be still means stop trying to fix it. We should do the things we're called to do. And there are many things we're called to do. And we need to be responsible for our life. But there are certain things that are God things, and we can't do those. And God does those things in his own time, whenever he gets around to it, whenever he wants to, whenever it's right. But those of you who are fixers, and we all do this from time to time, we want the answers now, so we force things to work, we pound square pegs in round holes, and we cause all kinds of trouble. So sometimes being still means just stepping back and going, that's God's job. I need to keep my little fingers off of it. When we are not still in any of those three senses, we know God is God. We know it in our head, but we don't know it in our heart, at least not at that moment. The word for know here is the Greek word that emphasizes what we feel, what we experience. When we are still, then we really know in our heart as well, not just in our head, but in our heart, that God is God. That he's good, that he's in control. But when we're not still, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. And so the psalmist says, be still, be still. Stop from your busyness. Stop from obsessing. Take a breath. Stop trying to force it. Be still. And let me be God. Let me be God. So some crazy shoots a cannonball at water barrels and misses the mark and accidentally messes up your life. Can you trust God? Worse yet, some crazy purposely shoots the cannonball at you. You're under attack. Can you trust God? Or flip it around. You've accidentally shot that cannonball and you've made a mess of other people's lives. Can you trust God to fix that? Worst case scenario, you purposely have shot that cannonball. You were angry. You wanted to hurt someone. You shot that cannonball and now it's a big mess. Can you trust God to clean up that mess? God is good. And He's in control. You can and should trust Him. Do the things that you need to do. Absolutely. Always do those. But even while you're doing the things that you need to do, let God do the things that only He can do. He is good. He's in control. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. Let's pray. Lord, being still is not one of our strong suits as Americans. Far from it. We watch TV. While we're watching TV, we're having a conversation with other people in the room. And while we're having a conversation with other people in the room, we're on our phones texting other people that are not in the room. What's stillness in our crazy world? We work long hours. We work hard. We come home and we fill our life with busyness. Things need to be done around the house, around the home. And even when we play, we plan and we rush and we work at playing and work at resting. We're not too good at being still. Right here, right now, Lord, quiet our hearts. Take us away from our busyness. Right here, right now, Lord, we breathe. Some of us here in this room are weighed down. Worry, fear, hurt, pain, anger, bitterness. We breathe, Lord. We just want to breathe right now. That's it. Just breathe. Breathe in your goodness. And let the other stuff go, at least for the moment. And Lord, we confess that there are so many things we cannot fix. We are way less in control of our life than we think. And while we should be responsible for our life, ultimately our days, our life, it's in your hands. We let go of the need to fix everything. We let it go. It's your life. We're your children. Take care of us. Lord, you are good. You are good. You are in control. We can trust you. Help us to be still enough to recognize that. In your name we pray. Amen.